whole chapter. Would you stand with me? Let's read the whole chapter, 21 verses. Beautiful, beautiful thought. I'll read the first, you read the second, and so on. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. How that by revelation he hath made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in few words.
Whereby in your name you can understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ,
which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit.
That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of his knowledge in Christ by the gospel.
Whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power.
Unto me, who am glad to lead you all again, it is a grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable grace of Christ.
And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ.
To be in him, that now and under the power of the power of the Spirit, might be known by the church and the manifold wisdom of God.
According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus in our Lord.
In whom we have boldness and have
wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you which is your glory.
For this cause I honor and the Lord Jesus Christ,
of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named.
And that he who granted you according to the riches of his glory, in his hands to my life and spirit in his hands.
That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love,
may be able to comprehend all things what is
and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Heavenly Father, help us today to understand the greatness of your salvation, the blessing that you brought to our lives, and to appreciate how you revealed it to us. Give me the freedom of ease to speak that only you can give, and bless every heart that you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I got the reading. This chapter, just read it through. I wasn't searching out anything, but we just stuck with it. I kept going back to it. So for a couple of weeks, I've had this on my mind, and it's just an absolute beautiful passage of Scripture. It's just got some tremendous things in it. It's a wonder of the blessings of the Lord. Now, there are mysteries in the Bible. What is a mystery? It's something that God knows and you don't. Isn't that right? You ever try to study out the mysteries? I have. And boy, if they're a mystery, they're a mystery to me. You got to find some answer sometimes in the Word of God that will tell you what the mystery is. Well, looking back through the Bible, let's just take the Old Testament, beginning in Genesis and running all the way up to Malachi. We have God choosing out a man, Abraham. Then he chose one of Abraham's sons. And then he chose one of Isaac's sons. And then Jacob's sons. Then he chose Joseph. And then we come on down here in the beginning of the New Testament. And we have Christ. Now that's what all of that choosing was about. When he chose Abraham, he was going to bless the world in his seed. Well, Christ is the seed of Abraham. Come on down. Now, These Jews are looking for someone to deliver them. Most of them were not very spiritual. They were political and financial. And they wanted to get out from under the Roman government that was over them. So they're looking for a Messiah to set up the kingdom. It's promised in the Old Testament. They were looking for that to take place. And when Christ came, they knew where he was going to come. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. You could go to a Bible scholar, you'd say Bethlehem. It would say when it's going to take place. Some of these fellows studied this stuff out. And some of them had to have taken a trip from a beach somewhere. You got to be rich men. Because they had to go in camel trains to come. Those wise men that came to see Jesus when he's a little boy. He wasn't just a baby there. He was a little boy. And when he came and they brought their gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, these are rich men, maybe very spiritual men that were looking forward, and they even had a star to guide them and bring them in, and to bring them up to the place of Christ. Now the Jews did not think anything about the Gentiles. That was completely foreign to their mind. They were not trying to win the world. You know what they did? They preserved the Word of God. They were a people who could read, and they taught their children to read because they wanted to read the Word of God. They wanted to be able to read the Ten Commandments and the histories and the stories. They were concerned with Judaism. They were concerned with what the Old Testament is concerned with. And when Jesus comes, what does he do? He preaches to the Jews.
Yeah.
Remember the Syrophoenician woman that came up to him? He said, You're not part of my people. It's in the market. She said, yeah, but the dogs get the crumbs from the table. Come on in and have a seat. You're welcome. He didn't preach to the Gentiles. Jesus did not go way out and reach other people. He preached to the Jews. He presented his being the Messiah to them, and they rejected him, and they crucified him. Now, we sometimes talk about the keys, and people will say Peter had the keys. Well, I think Peter did. Peter opened the door at Pentecost to the Jewish nation after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then it was Peter, in about chapter 10 of the book of Acts, that had to go to a centurion's house, an Italian man. And he'd been worshiping God, and God broke in on him and told him, go get Simon, surnamed Peter. He's in such and such a house in such a place. And he did. And Peter goes with him. God gave him a vision. He's out dreaming. He gets a vision. The law, this great big sheep coming down from heaven, and all sorts of unclean animals on it. Jews are very strict. They're very strict on how you became a Jew and stay one. They were strict on the kind of food that you ate and stuff like that. There were a lot of things in the Old Testament you'll find that were unclean. They weren't supposed to eat. They weren't hillbillies to eat the roadkill. And so they had this thing. They didn't go in unto a Gentile's house. They had all sorts of rules. They were a peculiar, special people in order to bring Christ in and be prepared to recognize who he was. They did. Some of them did. All the first Christians are Jews. They were Jews. They got the gospel preached to them. They got saved at Pentecost. These are Jews from all over the world. Look at the different 16, 17 countries that are there in Jerusalem. And when they get up and preach and the Holy Ghost falls, man, they're speaking just like I'm speaking, but they're hearing it in a language that they were raised in. America. Wonderful. They said, this is something, a touch of God. That's exactly what it was. But now then, they go out and they're preaching only to Jews, only to Jews, only to Jews. Peter is forced by God. He tells God two or three times, I've never eaten anything unclean. How about that for being a Jew? He was a practicing Jew. He had not eaten these animals that God put it down to him. And God told him, what I clean, you don't call common. You don't call that common. And Peter's scratching his head. What in the world is God trying to tell me? And about that time, these soldiers, I guess, from the centurion, are knocking on the door of the house where he's at. And so he comes in and they said, our leader is Cornelius. He's a centurion. That's an officer of the head of 100. And he was told by God, a vision by God, to come get you, that you would tell us words. And so Peter says, I don't know what that sheep was. It wasn't talking about me going out and eating the wrong thing. It was telling me that I could go into a Gentile house and I didn't have to worry about it.
Amen.
It was telling me that if God cleansed it, it's cleansed and you don't have to worry about it. Anyone with him? And he got up to Cornelius' house. I'm not sure what he was expecting, but he got a surprise. As he began to tell him, he asked them why they sent for him, and they said, well, God told me to get you. And you're as good as you come. And so, you're going to tell us words. Now, what in the world has Peter been preaching for 3 years? The Word of God. That's what he did. And he tells the story of Jesus, how Jesus died upon the cross, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day, 3 days and 3 nights later. And that he was resurrected, he's alive, and he's the Savior of the world, and he fulfilled all these prophecies about him that came about through the Old Testament. Man, he told them these words of salvation, the same words you heard. Same words somebody told you before you got saved. And Peter's astonished. Because remember when we were in Pentecost? The Holy Spirit just came down. And they spake with other tongues. And man of joy that came there. You know what it said? Peter says the same thing happened in Cornelius' house. At the Gentile house. Peter opened the door to the Jews and he opened the door to the Gentiles too. Now the doors are open. And so what we have here is a mystery. All of this time from Abraham on up, and down, or up to Christ, and to the death of Christ. These Jews have been prepared to receive a certain message, and a certain messenger, and a certain king, which was to be the Savior of the world. Did they understand it? No, probably not. No more than you understand some things until you're looking back on a long ways down the line. Here it is. It says right here, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. All of them, God told me. Now you can believe it or not believe it. I personally believe it. I believe the Bible. I believe the messages of the Bible. I believe the definitions of the Bible, and I like to get my definitions from the Bible. You know what we found? We've got a mystery. The mystery was that the Gentiles were going to be fellow heirs. Look down in verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Now, Jews are going to have a hard time with it, and they do it all through the very first part of the book of Acts and even through the end of Acts. The Jews thought this was theirs and only theirs. They weren't reaching out to these heathen that were out there. These Gentiles, you see, you're either a Jew or you're a Gentile. All of the nations are Gentiles. But these Jews were prepared for something for them, and when it happened to them, well, it was a glorious thing. Thousands of them got saved. They were prepared for it because of reading and understanding the Old Testament, being taught the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, looking for the prophecies and all of these things. Wonderful, wonderful book. And they kept it. They prepared it. They had people that was their job just to make copies all the time. They just made copies of certain books of the Bible. And they didn't have a Bible like you and I have. It's quite as easy for them as it is for us. But at any rate, they weren't prepared to receive salvation from the Jews, from the Gentiles too. So in the early church, when these Gentiles wanted to come come in, whatever controversy. Some of these Jews, they got to become Jews. They can't be saved. They have to be circumcised. They have to keep the law. They have to do everything. They have to be Jews. There's a big controversy in there. And that's one of these things that is one of the biggest fights in the early church. And he was dividing them. And they finally came down about the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, somewhere like that. John, a brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, must have been a leading elder of the Jews. And when Paul came back and said, we go out here and we win these Gentiles to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the preachers come from down here in Jerusalem, come up and tell them, oh no, you gotta be circumcised, you gotta keep the law of Moses, you gotta do these feasts, you gotta do all this stuff like this. And he said, these are Gentiles. And they made a decision. You did not have to become a Jew to be a Christian. Now there's the mystery. Now Paul got the revelation. He said right here how that by revelation, verse 3, he has made known unto me the mystery, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ, that in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed to his apostles and prophets. This mystery that God planned in his heart when he created everything was not revealed. You don't find it in the Old Testament. You find some insight into the gospel, insight into salvation, but nothing like what we read in the New Testament. Nothing like what the gospel that we preach in is clear now. These Jews were prepared to receive the Word of God and to preach it, and God was going to use them to let the whole world have an opportunity to be saved. Wonderful. Wonderful thing. Now then, a revelation, he said, made known in verse 3 about his mystery. This thing which, verse 5, in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men as it's now revealed. You know what I know now? I don't have to be a Jew to be a Christian.
Amen.
You know what I know now? I don't have to keep the law to be saved.
Amen.
I don't have to be circumcised. I don't have to eat certain kinds of food. I do not have to go back and put myself under that law. And bless your heart, Jesus took that law for me and for you and nailed it to the cross.
Amen.
And I don't have to keep the law to be saved.
Amen.
Have you ever figured out you can keep it?
Right.
You know what the law is for? To show you sin.
Amen.
The law is supposed to make you humble. You're supposed to take a look at that law. Thou shalt have no other gods before thee.
And then your car is the head of God.
Your kids are the head of God.
Amen.
Who is the head of God? A lot of other things are the head of God. Maybe your clothes are the head of God. Thou shalt have no other gods before thee. I need to be number one. He even said, you need to hate your father and mother. You need to love me first. I'm number one. Boy, that's pretty selfish, isn't it? Isn't it very restrictive to think something like that? Some men said, I'll be a prophet for you. I'll go with you, but let me bury my father. What he's saying, let me stay at home till dad dies. He wasn't going but to the funeral. It wouldn't have been a problem going to the funeral. He said, I got to stay home and observe my dad till he dies. But when that obligation is over, I'll follow you. He said, no, sir. I come first. You come now, you put me before everybody and everything. Wonderful gospel. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he raised from the dead, victorious over sin, hell, death, and the grave. Wow, what a message we've got today. If you're here and you're lost, my friend, I want you to know there's a way for you to be saved. I've got a gospel I can walk into death row, tell people that are murderers and rapists and terrorists and revolutionaries, if you repent of your sins, I've got a Savior that's got blood and a powerful enough to cleanse you from all of them.
Amen.
And it's a legitimate thing. Wonderful, wonderful message. Gentiles didn't. All of it belongs to him. He's the only one that could pay the price. But at any rate, look at verse 6. Fellow heirs. Now this is something hard for the Jews to accept. You mean they don't do all that we did? They don't go through what we went through? And you're going to make them heirs with us? Fellow heirs. Same body. Did they say same body? Same body. Partakers of the promise in Christ. I thought Christ was just coming to save us. No, he's coming to save the whole world.
Amen.
He's coming to save anybody and everybody that will repent of their sins and call on Jesus Christ to be saved.
Amen.
It takes faith. Let me tell you something. I don't need faith to believe in God, really. To me, everything around me tells me there's a God.
Yeah.
Everything around me. Even when I was a kid, what I heard about evolution sounded like a stupid story to me.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend you today telling you that you're stupid because you believe in evolution, but I think you are.
Amen.
I believe what this book says here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I believe Jesus Christ is the name of God. I'm not an agnostic. It's not that I don't know. Well, which God is it out of all the gods? Even if I believe God, which God is it? I don't know. I know.
Amen.
I know. What kind of God is he? Good or bad? I'm like Abraham. Abraham, Genesis 18, 25. He said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right?
Amen.
From experience, seeing all the death, disease, and sorrow, and trials, and troubles, you can say God is a bad God. By faith, you can say it. By all the beauty in the world, and love, and children, and family, and some of you just had a blessed life. You say God's a good God.
Yeah.
You know what? I've got a verse of scripture, and I've got the faith of Abraham. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? If God was a bad God, what could you do about it?
Amen.
You got nothing you could do.
Amen.
Praise God, he's a good God.
Amen.
And that's the testimony that I think we have right here. This is the mystery that was hid throughout all ages up to the death of Christ. That the Gentiles would be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ, by the gospel. Wow. What a mystery! What a ball of truth that was hidden down under this mystery. Now that all of a sudden it's open! The Bible has been translated in more languages than any other book. I don't know how many there are out there. Let me tell you what. The Bible has gone way out there. I was a missionary in Guatemala. I went down there, I went out to some places that didn't have electricity, didn't have paved roads, didn't have a whole lot of things. And I went out there and preached to some of those villages. You know what I'd watch walking by? There'd be a maid, little smaller men than what Americans or Mexicans are. And he'd have a niqab, which is a head strap, and a rope behind him. And he's got three or four cases of coke. He's going taking that coke back where they didn't have electricity. He's taking modern world on his back to go out there and sell it. That's his job. He sells coke. Now it wasn't with ice. When we came back to San Antonio, Eddie had drank so much coke without ice that he would go down to the store and he wouldn't get one out of the ice thing. He'd go over to where they dry ones and the hot ones were, and he'd buy one of them. They didn't know how to handle him. You know what? Another thing about these guys, really tickled me. They would have a transistor radio battery operated in their ear. These are primitive people. They're still in tribal Indian villages. Some of them don't even speak Spanish. They spoke their native language of Quiche or some of the others that were there. But they had that music going on that little transistor radio. And you know what it did to me? I said, wow. Coca-Cola's gone where Christ hasn't gone. Not only that, transistor radio was coming across that mountain. Wow. It was an impressive thing to me. They also had sewing machines. Yeah. Back in those days, no electricity. It was a cedar pedal. My mother sewed on one of them almost all of my life. She was an old woman when she finally bought her new electric sewing machine. Some of those things work out there. They made a living. They made clothes for people. Fellow heirs, same body, partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Now then, why? Look, if you will, at verse 9. To make all men see. Notice the last part of verse 8. That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to the intent that they may all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning hath been hid in God and created all things by Jesus Christ. He wants all men to see.
Thank you, Lord.
What is my job as a preacher or a missionary? Well, a lot of you would have a bunch of different ideas of what you would think that ought to be my priorities in my job. I think the job of a preacher of the gospel or a missionary is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't believe it is to buy shoes for people who are barefoot. I don't believe it is to send your own clothes down there. I don't believe it is to do a whole lot of things. I'm not even sure that it's any part of educating the people. It's to preach the gospel. It's to tell people about the glorious truth. By the way, did you know that all people are sinners?
Yeah.
You might not know that. You may have walked in here this room today and you think, I'm not a sinner. God wouldn't have anything against me. I'm not a sinner. I was a public school teacher for 20 years while I was building this church. And I had 11 student teachers over my period of time. And I had one. She was a crackerjack. Man, that little girl was ready to teach. She could just handle the classroom. She could handle everything that was there. And I couldn't get her to be a sinner. She didn't say it. She went out with boys and slept with some of them when she wanted to, but she didn't say that. I could not get her convicted. She was smart, she was intelligent, but she had a father that had professed faith in Christ in the Pentecostal thing, and he was drunk. She wasn't a sinner. I hope she came alive. I hope somebody showed it to her. I hope she finally sought the Lord, because she was a lovely girl. I loved her. And she was a great teacher. I'm sure she did a good job. She's probably retired by now. But, you know what? Make all men see. Verse 9. Make all men see the gospel. Now notice in verse 10. To the intent that now under the principality and power in heavenly places, that it be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Not only all the people to see, the people that can be reached with the gospel. You know what God's doing? God is taking the church and spreading the gospel that the principalities and powers. You know, we have a mayor here. We've got a mayor's race. I don't know who won it or whether it's over yet. I'm not sure. What? It's a runoff. Okay. Well, we got a mayor here in San Antonio. Let me tell you what. There is a large mayor of San Antonio, and there is a devil's mayor in San Antonio. You cannot believe that, but you study your testimony a little bit, you find out. There are principalities. What is a principality? It's the area that a prince rules. A principality. And powers in heavenly places. You remember back in the book of Daniel, Daniel's praying. God sends the answer to his prayer. He's 21 days late. Why? These angels are doing battle in the heavens up there. And he had to wait till he got some help before he could come down and complete the will of God. God wants to show the heaven. He wants to show all of these spiritual leaders, whatever they are, good or bad, the glory of the gospel. You realize how big this gospel is? It's bigger than anything you ever thought about.
Amen.
It's the greatest gift anybody could get.
Amen.
You ought to appreciate it. I don't care if you're laying in a sick bed right now. If you heard the gospel and been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to be saying, I am blessed, I am blessed, I am blessed. My sins are forgiven.
Thank you, Lord.
When I die, I'm not going to hell. That was one of the best things about the gospel I ever heard.
Thank you, Lord.
My sins are gone. I won't go to hell. Jesus bought me. Jesus paid it all. His blood washed me clean.
Amen.
You may think I'm a pretty dirty fellow, but I tell you what, Jesus changed me up. Thank you, Lord. He wanted all men to see His heavenly purpose, His eternal purpose in Christ. He wants all men to see them, and He wants all the heavenly powers to see them. Jesus is the biggest thing in history. Everything pointed to His coming. Then He came. And then He died. And then He set up His church to witness. He's coming back. He'll be coming again. He's not through. Unless your heart, you can believe Him. You can trust Him. You can trust His Word. Now look at verse 12. Man, I don't miss it. Verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom, in Christ, we have boldness and access and confidence by faith in Him. Look what we've got. I got saved, and you know what? I don't have to go to a special building to meet God. I don't have to have any other human being intercede for me, living or dead. And by the way, Jesus loves you more than Mary ever could.
Amen.
You've got to get these things right. They may seem offensive, but the whole thing about Jesus being the only way, that's offensive. All I got to tell you, Jesus is the only Savior in the world. And then, by the way, if I tell you I'm saved, I know I'm going to hell, and I'm not going to hell, that's offensive. People get upset at stuff like this. You preach the gospel, or you witness to your family or your friends, you are going to upset some people. They'll think you're arrogant. They'll think you're some smart aleck, and you just got something that you want to say, and it's just your opinion. And they think they've got a better opinion than you. No, 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 my friend. It's what you get from the Bible. What do we have? I have boldness. I wouldn't walk into the mayor's house. In fact, I wouldn't walk into your house without an invitation in. But I walk into God's house every day. I walk into the presence of the Almighty God every day. He kept me through the night. I walk in the morning and I say, hello, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
That's bold. That's bold. Why do I have boldness? Christ. I have boldness because of Christ. I have boldness because I am dressed up in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's how God sees me. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
I'm not better than you. I'm probably worse than most of you. But I tell you what, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And Jesus has paid my debt. And He's my great high priest. And I walk into the presence of God as His Son, Jesus Christ. You're that way too. Are you saved?
Yes.
Somebody saved here today?
Yes.
Bless your heart. You have boldness. What a wonderful thing the gospel gives us boldness. It says we have access. things done by the government in the city. I've tried to even just get a telephone this, when I moved into town. I thought that would be the easiest thing in the world to do. It was the worst nightmare I've had in a long time. But I've got access to God. I've got access to the throne room in heaven. I've got access to that prayer place. Throne of grace. And bless your heart, I've received a lot of grace. I just have to testify that. Never did something else I got. I got confidence. I'm thankful that I got a book in my hand. I'm thankful that somebody taught me to read.
Amen.
I'm thankful that I live in such a wonderful, rich country that I can have a beautiful Bible.
Thank you, Lord.
And have a bunch of them. They're in my car, they're in my briefcase, they're all around. I've got it on earphones, I've got it on the computer, I got it everywhere. You know something? What a beautiful life. To have something like this, you know what I've got? I have boldness and access with confidence. How? By faith. What's my faith in this word? The promises I'm reading to you. What a chapter. You ought to read this chapter about 3 times a day for all this next week to see the blessing you have in Christ. What a tremendous thing it is. Boldness and access to the Almighty God that created the heaven and the earth and that died for my sins and paid my debt, removed them far from me, and dressed me up in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Wow! I got boldness. I have access. And I have confidence that God will invite me in better than my own daddy did. I don't know what I would have done if I had done something really bad. But I knew my daddy enough, well enough to know no matter what I did, no matter when I showed, I had access. I could go in, come on in somehow. You're my son. Whatever you do, I gotta live with you. You can always come home. You can always come to dad and mom. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. I've got that with God. I'm a son of God and an heir of heaven. I've been saved by the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. His Holy Spirit came in and gave me the confidence by faith that I was accepted in the blood. Wow. Revelation 5:9 says, they sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth."
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
You talk about winning the lottery. Nowhere close to this. I tell you what, it's a tremendous, tremendous blessing. Acts 26:18 says to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, so that they receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. What a blessing! Now look at verse 14. I've had people come and ask me, say, "Teach me how to pray." Jesus was asked by the disciples to teach them how to pray. Well, I tell you what, I would say get a Bible and read all the prayers of Saul. Oh, read his prayer. Here's a prayer. This is a prayer of Paul. Verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. That's a lot of riches. To be strengthened with might by his Spirit. Spiritual power in the inner man. Paul's praying that your inner man would be strong by the Spirit of God. That's pretty good prayer. You can pray that for me every day. I'd be happy for you to. Mark it down and say, "Let Brother Lindell be strengthened in his inner man." I'd like that. Now look at verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. May you, being rooted They'll say, you don't love. That's not true.
Yeah.
The person that tells you the most truth loves you the most.
Amen.
The person that wants to interrupt you in your attitude and your lifestyle and let bring you the Lord Jesus Christ loves you more than the people that go feely-feely around you.
Amen.
And they're afraid to offend you. They're afraid to say anything that hurts your feelings. I'm all fooling on the feelings. One of the worst things that ever happened in the church was feelings.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking about the good ones. I'm talking about getting your little feelings hurt.
Amen.
Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Have you ever heard that like that?
Yeah.
My daddy heard something like that, and he said, get over it. What's your problem? Get over it. That's what you ought to do. Be a man. Be a woman. Stand up. Get over it. Live your life. Don't allow a little bitty feelings. I believe more people have left more churches over hurt feelings than anything in the world. And it's absolutely ridiculous. So what if I say booger? Who cares? Bless your heart. Get over it.
Amen.
Get over it.
Amen.
Don't let any. You couldn't be a preacher 1 week long with feelings like some of you have. Every time I preach, somebody likes it and somebody hates it. Sort of like being a president. Whatever he does, he's going to be divided in half and half.
Yeah, that's right.
I wouldn't have that job. I wouldn't run for it. I wouldn't pay for it. I wouldn't take it. I would take being king. But I would not take being president. Look what he says in this prayer. Bless your heart. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow. Would you like that? Do you remember the time you were most spiritually alive? Wasn't that terrific?
Amen.
Better than anything else you've ever felt in your life. You were filled with the Spirit of God, and wow, there was no drug to do it to you. That's what he wants for you. That's what Paul's praying for. What he's praying for the Ephesians. This is a tremendous chapter. Now then, he's telling us, I guess, one of the greatest promises in the Word of God. Look at verse 20. Now unto him that is able. I've got a lot of people that are sort of willing, but they're not able. You ever had people like that? I've hired them. They're not worth hiring. Look what Christ is. He says, unto him that is able. Now he's able to do. I like that. He's able to do. And it says, above all. So he's able to do it exceeding abundantly above all. He's able to do it with the sick. I'm just going to talk about it. Got my thing all tangled up. Couldn't see what I was saying. Above all that we ask or think. He's able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. How about that? You talk about a sentence. Man, you can rest on that all your life. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 2:9. But it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to the future.
Amen.
I'm happy. I've had a blessed life.
Yeah.
I was blessed in where I was born. I was blessed in who I was born to. I was blessed in the wife that I got. By the way, that wife told me in her old age, she said, I've had a lot of jobs on me. But the one I love best was his mother. 35 years he stayed home to raise my kids. And she went to work. I didn't want to go to work when she did. I like that in her home. But at any rate, that's what she said. My favorite job of all was mother. Now to him that they will do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I can ask for something pretty big. How about you? You got an imagination? Can you ask big? Well, you can't ask too big for God to think. You can't think too big to put God in the mix. To talk about the power that God has. Wow. And that's what Paul was praying for you. That's what he was praying for you. Let me tell you something. Christ died for you. He went to the cross of Calvary and he bought this whole thing for you.
Thank you, Lord.
He paid the debt for every sinner.
Yes,
he did. Your faith was simply by faith, trusting, calling on him. Your faith. There's not anybody you have not sinned too much for God to forgive you. Somebody who might think you have. You may think you've gone too far. You know, you've committed the unpardonable sin. All right, you've denied God so many times. You just get out on your knees and start praying, confessing sin, and praying and see what God will do for you. The gospel I preach is for everybody.
Yes.
Now, everybody's not going to receive it because everybody thinks they're smarter than God. They think they're smarter than me. Well, you may be. But let me tell you what, I did one smart thing. I took Christ as my Savior. When he invited me, he changed my life. Literally, he changed my life. He did the same for you. I don't care if you're a church member. I was a church member 10 years before I got saved. You can be saved. Are you saved or are you lost? Only you know. I don't know. As the Holy Spirit said to you, this is the way, walk ye in. As the Holy Spirit said to you, I can forgive your sin. I can get you right. I can give you victory. As the Holy Spirit said to you, why don't you receive it? Christian friend, why don't you get the repenting? You need to. You know you need to. We began a life of repentance when we got saved. I have to repent every day. I don't have a day goes by that I don't think something wrong or do something wrong or say something wrong. And you're about the same as me. I have to not accept my mother's offer. And I don't need better than you. Why don't you let God have it? Some of you really need to turn your life over to God. And with all the riches that I have given you, this chapter is absolutely rich with blessings. You ought to turn your life over to God and get some help.
Amen.
Let's sing. How about this design?